Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Hey, yo, 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 mic check, 1, 2, back in effect, episode, this 136?
I believe so, 136.
We got a lot of goddamn episodes.
Yeah.
Episode 136, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm cooling, man. Like, I'm chilling. This week is like the first week where I was like pressed because of like everything going on.
Oh, and the not being able to being on lockdown.
Yeah. This was the first week where I was like kind of stressed from it. Not kind of stressed, like stressed for more than a day on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm cooling, you know, still working, doing stuff for the documentary.
Yeah, right before we jumped on this call, I was going through the documentary and like we're working on like the voiceover stuff and starting to think about like music and all of that. It looks really good so far.
Yeah. I'm super excited about it. So, you know, writing a voiceover like this past week, not realizing how much fucking voiceover really needed to be written. Like,
oh, I've never made a film before. Like, we're all working on our first film. But yeah, I could imagine that shit is definitely is not sweet.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
like it's all
and you don't like. I write all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I see that it's an effort just to do like the voiceover stuff for this.
Yeah, and it's really dope when you're editing to be like, oh, I'll just put that part in voiceover. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't gotta find a way to like edit around some of the like visual mistakes that were that happened during the shooting. Like, we'll just add that to voiceover. And it's like, oh, I forgot I added all this shit to voiceover.
Right.
So I know, but I mean, like, you know, it's good. I mean, I think big part of it is just like me and you were talking about this before we started to record. The like, oh, I went to the living room and to the kitchen and then like to the steps or some shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like that monotony is like, okay, I gotta like it. Cause, and like you said, like, you know, taking a walk around the neighborhood, like that's cool and all, but that kills like 15, 20 minutes.
Right. How long are you gonna walk?
Yeah. So I think like that was the first thing that kind of hit me. And it was like, there really is nothing. You said this. It's like all I have to do is work. Like, I don't have,
yeah,
like that release. And it's like TV can only release so much.
Yeah, I've never really written this much,
mm-hmm.
in my life. You know what I mean? Like, even as a kid in school, I don't think I wrote as much as I write. I write every single day.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I mean? Like, it's obviously like, I'm not complaining about it. It's my job. You know what I mean? And I love doing it. But if it weren't for like, if I could still go out and DJ, you know what I mean? Or like play a show and make money, I wouldn't be taking on as many assignments as I am now. I wouldn't be pitching as much as I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like pitching like a motherfucker. And I'm like, if I showed you the document of stuff that I've written just since we've been under quarantine, and if I attach like word counts to it, I feel like your mind would be blown. Like, shit, you write a lot of motherfucking stuff. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's really all I have to do. Like, I hang out with Liz and mm-hmm. our cat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we like, you know, sit around and drink. But it's been like writing, reality TV, and reading books. I've been reading books too.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna lie, I noticed how much you've been writing just because of how much you've released. Like, how much like you'll post, like, oh, I just did this, I did this, I did this. Like, it used to be like every couple of days you'd be like, oh, I did this piece that came out.
Thing, yeah.
And now it's like every day you're like, oh, yo, I just posted a new piece, just posted a new piece, just posted a new piece.
And you know what's bugged out about that too? I don't share. If I have three things published, I might share one to social mm-hmm. media.
Yeah.
There's times when I'll have three things come out in a day in different different publications. Like, I don't really worry about it or whatever, but I don't know what, like, the perception is, you know, because I share, like, what I'm working on and everything, and I don't know if people think that I'm sharing, like, everything that I do. I'm really not. Like, I'm just, I write a ton of shit that I won't even share to social media. I just did it, you know, for money and for the work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really share, like, the stuff that I think is most significant, you know what I mean, to like the work that we're doing. But yeah, a lot of this shit, just like, I just let it rock, just let it, you know, whoever, if somebody else finds it and be like, yo, you wrote this, because that's happened too. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'll write something, I won't say nothing about it, and then somebody else will read it and bring it to the timeline, like, yo, you wrote this, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm not even like really sharing all of my shit. You know what I'm saying? This year is going to be by a mile my most productive year as a writer. And I'm working on a book too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I hit you and Raj about it a few days ago. I just crossed the 10,000 word, you know, barrier of my book. I still got like 90 grand worth of words. Right, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, and I think when you hit me and Raj, you were like, yo, I just did like 2,000 words for the book. So like, just in that time. And so that's the thing, it's like, even like the side projects, like, I hate to call it a side project because this is like something you really want to do, but like, even a quote-unquote side project, something you're not being like quantifiably paid for right now, is like still writing and still like, you know, doing this process, and it isn't a release. Like, I think part of it is the social thing too, like, it's the ability to be out and like socializing with people and and doing shit. Because like, I really took a break from social media as much as I can. Like, you know, we have obligations, and, you know, I hate to call it like personality or whatever, but like, because we have to have like some kind of presence consistently on social media, because we're artists and shit like that. I did like 4 or 5 straight days of like doing the bare minimum of like kind of checking in.
Right.
I've been working on the philosophy of like detachment too. Trying to do that a lot this week, of like just like taking the fact, and I think a large part of that is like because of what we're going through, of like having no control.
Right.
And so like, I'm trying to be like, okay, I can't control this. I need to detach my need to be like so hands on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Cause I can't right now. Like, there's, you know, I can't control the fact that like there's a possibility my son loses like the freshman year of football in college for him or some shit. Like, I just can't control that. And I'm stressed about it cause I don't want it to happen. But like, I'm also like, well, I can't control that. Like, I need to let myself go of these things that I cannot control, man.
Yeah. A big part of the misery that comes along in life, like, there are certain things that happen to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That are like outside of your control. I think a lot of that directly produce misery. I think a lot of misery and like uncomfortability that we feel and anguish that we feel is directly connected to what you said, like holding on or trying to like resist things that are literally not up to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know in my own life, there's been times where I was like really bugging about a situation, and then I had to pause and think, like, you don't control this.
Yeah.
So worry doesn't help it. You know, fear and like being afraid of it, you know, or afraid of an outcome doesn't help it. It's literally not up to you.
Mm-hmm.
So then what after that?
Yeah. I think it's the Buddha that says, like, you lose what you cling to. You know what I mean? And, you know, you're clinging to these things of like, yo, like, I want this to happen. I want this to happen. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't happen. You're like, oh, man, I'm so wildly depressed. Like, listen, I want this to happen, and I'm going to work, do the best I can to make that happen. But if it doesn't happen, you know, I did what I could, and, you know, that's all I can. You know what I mean? you know, I'm stepping out in life right now and trying like a whole new venture in life of like, oh, I'm a creative. Like, this is what I do for a living. And like, this is all I want to do. But you can't like, I can't sit here and go like, yo, if I'm not successful immediately at this, it's a failure. But like, that's right. The feeling is like, you know, you're constantly like, yo, if this isn't like, this isn't going to work, or a lack of confidence in like what you're doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's important for you to be like, yo, this is cool. And I put a lot of effort into this and I'm going to make the best thing I can make. And whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. But like, that feeling of like, yo, I gotta attach myself to this. It has to happen. This has to work. Like, there's a million things that don't work. You know what I mean? And you gotta kind of like let things go and let them become what they're gonna become. Like, I had to learn that with my kids when like me and my kid's mother first split up. I used to have really, 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 really bad anxiety about like, yo, what if something happens and I'm not there to help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what if something, you know, I'm not there. Like, what if they get scared and they need me and I'm not there? And how are they going to feel? Like, that was for like the first 2 years of me being gone. And like, it took a long time. Like, I had to really sit down and like assess going like, oh, if I allow this to continue, I'll fucking like drive myself crazy.
Yeah. I was going to say, it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah. So I think like a big thing is just like, sitting there realizing what you can control and doing that. And I think a big part for me like this past week was like, yo, I need to get out of everybody else's head.
Right. That shit is so key. This whole process that a lot of us are on, myself included, like waking up, grabbing your phone, mm-hmm. and then jumping into this like hive mind of the internet and social media is not healthy. There's no better feeling that I've had in my life than the period in my life when I really trained myself to like wake up, give thanks to the creator, stretch my body, drink some water, sit and meditate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I felt like a fucking flower, dog. Like real shit. Like, I felt like the sunshine on the inside because I had trained myself to do that every day, you know, for years. And it like, scraped away a lot of this stuff. Now, you know, also I wasn't doing shit, you know what I mean, like, professionally or anything like that. I, you know, I would go to work or whatever, but I was working a job I didn't care anything about. All I really did was like meditate and make music, you know, so I could carve out that kind of happiness for myself. Now I have to be more engaged, me and you trying to make moves. I'm putting more stuff out in the world. So I sacrifice a little bit of that to be plugged in and to be pitching and returning emails and on, you know, on point with stuff professionally. But I'm going to go back to that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to figure out some ways to like make some money and really do like the work that we want to do and create the things that we want to create. And dog, by the time we get to like our 50th year, like, you know, 5-decade shit, I might be on some Rick Rubin shit. You know what I mean? Like on a motherfucking island with my shoes off and my beard down to here. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's, I've tasted that feeling and I want it back in my life. I know what that shit is like and I want it back. But I also want to, you know, be putting stuff out into the world, good stuff out into the world creatively too.
Yeah, I think one of the things, like, listen, there's a ton of positive things I've taken from social media. Like, social media is, I mean, dude, like, Raj is like, you know, one of my closest friends now. I would not know him probably without social media. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, social media is what like connected us, right? So And there's plenty of people that are like that. Like, you know, shout out to Rhythm, Vision, and all that. Like, you know, Vision reached out. I posted something about writing a voiceover the other day, and Vision reached out and was like, dude, take your time, man. Don't press yourself and shit like that. And it's like, yo, I feel really good about, like, having people like that who, like, and then it made me think, like, yo, if it wasn't for social media, I wouldn't know him.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, like, you know, he's doing magic. Like, you know, we're not being paid for this. Like, dude, check out his Trash the Peace Theater on fucking YouTube. It's fucking magic.
Trash the Peace Theater is the best shit ever. If you haven't seen it, imagine, like, a cartoon, but it's like a cartoon of a young man growing up in North Philly in the late 90s and just his, like, weird, like, wild, fucked up adventures. It's the funniest shit ever.
Yeah. And it's great. And it, you know, it helps it like the one he posted this week about, like, the fucking story being amped up and all, like, that kind of stuff. Like, it pulls me in. It makes me feel, like, you know, so grounded in the fact of, like, the connection between all of us and shit.
Yeah, because it's relatable. It's like, damn, did this dude, like, grow up with us?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think about that aspect with social media, and I think about, like, the cell phone aspect of, like, yo, we're such in the mode of, like, yo, if this person hasn't texted me back in, like, an hour, you know what I mean? Like, we get that anxiety of, like, well, maybe they don't want to talk to me no more. Maybe this happened. Maybe that happened.
Yeah.
When we were younger, it was like, yo, I might not speak to somebody for, like, a week because, like, you know, they might not have phone privileges or some shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Motherfucker went, yeah, dog, shout out to my man Omar. My man Omar, it was his birthday the other day. He lived around the corner from me. He broke my arm when I was, like, 13. Omar would go away with his family, like on some, like, I think he had peoples down south or something. He would, like, him and his family would just roll, and he would come back, like, 2 or 3 weeks later, like, oh, where was you at, dog? Oh, man, you know, we was down south. We're connected now, but it's a different kind of connection than we were connected back in the day when we were kids, whereas it was like you didn't know where everybody was and what everybody was doing at all times. And then it's you know, it's crazy now that I'm even thinking about this shit, because I kind of had this thought last night. I was like, damn, it's a wonder me and Liz haven't, like, stabbed each other, because we don't even have, like, new shit to talk about.
No. Like, y'all having no, like, new life experiences. Yeah.
And she and I, like, like, God bless her, God bless, like, our union, because she and I are really good at entertaining each other and, like, playing off of each other and, like, you know, like, cracking up about, like, silly shit. But, you know, there was a time when, like, she would go to work, you know what I mean, I would go out in the world to DJ or, like, play shows, or I just got in my Facebook memories notification the other day was, like, an anniversary of, like, a show I played in New York, which a bunch of crazy shit happened, like, while I was in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I could come back and tell her about it. We coming up, it's like 60, 70 days or some shit. And we, like, just been in the crib, like, just looking at each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's part of when you say, like you said earlier, this week was, like, challenging for you. It's been challenging for me, too, because it's, like, the sheer boredom of this shit. You know what I mean? It's kind of like really, I'm okay because, like, she and I can both earn money.
Yeah.
We ain't had no problems, like, paying our rent or nothing. Our landlord hollered at us, like, yo, are y'all cool? We was like, yeah, we all right. You know what I mean? My mom asked me, like, yo, are y'all all right with money? I was like, yeah, we're fine. You know what I mean? Because this shit hasn't stopped our money. Like, my heart goes out to people who, like, have no income, and you're stuck in the crib and bored and anxious and, like, tired of this shit. It's fucked up. Y'all niggas, whoever listening, I know the government listen to this podcast. Y'all niggas got to cook up a vaccine for this shit. like ASAP, but don't put no chips in it. You know what I mean? Like, because my man was on YouTube, y'all trying to throw the chips in the motherfucking vaccine. Like, hook us up, get people. You know what I mean? Like, this shit, it can't stand as it is now.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. Yeah, I can't. I listen, man. Like, you know, there's only so much you can do when you're walking in the same couple rooms and, like, you know, you're breaking up. You're trying to do, like, you know, I'm going to break my day up into this, this, that, and the third. But it's like, it, you know, just even trying to give yourself a schedule sometimes is really hard, man. Like,
right.
And plus, right. like, time flies or it crawls. There is no in between of, like, it's just mm-hmm. a regular day.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, when you're not, like, going out and experiencing new things, like, that's a hard knock in the head every day, dog, of being like, so, I know I saw you 20 minutes ago in the bedroom, but, like, did you have any new experiences?
We can jump out and take a break.
Yeah, we can take our break.
But yeah, it's been wild. You know what I mean? Like, right now she's just, I don't even know where she went. Like, she's just out. just like walking around solo. She was like, she ain't asked me if I wanted to go or nothing. She knew we had to record too. Yeah. But, yeah, she definitely was like, all right, I'm out. Like, I'm going to go walk around and do my thing. And I'm like, I don't fucking blame you. I might do the same thing later tonight.
Yeah.
Just walking around Dolo.
Yeah, I did that the other day. I kind of just, like, you know, I've been trying to take walks and stuff like that anyway, but, like, I definitely was just like, oh, I need to get out. Like, I need to get out of the house for a few minutes. And even if it's like I'm walking to Wawa or I'm doing something, I got to do something. This shit can't keep going like this.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take a break and come back. And we got a couple of things on deck. Interesting things that we want to talk about. But yeah, let's pop out and come right back. Boom, back in effect. So last week, apparently Cory Booker, is he a senator?
Yeah,
running,
I think
he's
so.
He's running for president. I think he was a senator.
It's Rosario Dawson's man.
You said what?
Rosario Dawson's man.
Rosario Dawson's boothang. You know what I mean? A hated Democrat. Cory Booker was on Instagram Live and with Fat Joe. He was on Instagram Live with Fat Joe.
Because when I think of Fat Joe, I think of Cory Booker.
Oh, 100%. Their brands are absolutely
tied together,
synergistic.
Yeah.
So Fat Joe asked Cory Booker his top five. We're gonna analyze and slam his top five right now, because you know it's a fucking pandemic and this is what we rocking with right now. So I'm assuming this is not in order. You know what I mean? So this is just his five favorite MCs: Chance the Rapper, Common, Talib Kweli, Jay-Z, Queen Latifah. Josh, what are your thoughts? Off top.
Immediately when thoughts? I saw it, I was like, oh, Queen Latifah, because he's from Jersey. He had to throw in.
You got to throw the Queen in. Yeah. From Jersey, you got to throw the Queen in.
You got to throw Queen Latifah in there. You from Jersey. I'm surprised it's not like Redman, Tretch, Queen Latifah.
Do it all from the fucking Lords of the Underground.
Like, I'm surprised he didn't just like run down every like Jersey MC he could think of. Like, yo, Joe Vinny. Button. Like, you know what I mean?
Wait, who'd you say?
Like Vin Rock.
Yo, Jersey, it's crazy. Like, we're clowning, but this is reminding me how many good rappers come from Jersey.
Oh, yeah. No, that's no shot at Jersey at all.
Everybody we named is nice on the mic. You know what I mean? I don't love Joe Budden's music, but the nigga can rap.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, like, that was the first. And then I'm like, oh, he's got, like, the conscious dudes in there because he's got Calm and he's got Kweli.
He's positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, Common definitely makes like comfortable sweater rap.
Yeah,
at this point, you know what I mean.
Yeah, like
Google, I love Calm. Like we grew up on Calm.
Google Cory Booker like outfits, and you'll see like, oh yeah, this is why he listens to Common Sense.
That's Common's the musical equivalent
to a Cory Booker outfit. Yeah. Like, and I love Calm, dog. I love Calm to death. Like, this is like the 15th anniversary of B or something like that. And I love B. I think B is a great album. But yeah, like, look at his clothes and you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like,
makes total sense.
Yeah, like, he ain't, you know, Cory Booker, like, Swaggy and Cory Booker have never been in the same sentence.
This is like the safest top five I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
got Hove on there because you got to put Hove in.
Oh yeah, you know, definitely. He's probably got some kind of deal with Roc Nation too. So,
oh shit, Roc Nation fuck with politicians like that? I mean, I know they fuck with them, but do they like sign niggas to like
dog,
run for office?
Listen, man, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. Like,
dog.
You know, it's probably like some Jay-Z. There's probably like some Roc Nation lobbyists. You know what I mean?
Yo, Roc Nation, yo. I'm just imagining niggas like throwing up the diamond on like the floor of Congress. Dog, I'm not mad at none of these MCs. You know what I mean? He threw Chance in there because Chance is positive.
Yeah, yeah.
But also he's like a young, kind of hip / corny dude. You know what I mean? He, you know, this is 100% on brand for Cory Booker.
Yeah, you know what? One of the problems with Chance is I can never disassociate him from the character in Atlanta. What was Bowman's name?
Oh, Clark County.
Yeah, Clark County. Like, I could never like disassociate those two like in my head anymore.
I wonder who Donald Glover was talking about when he said that like the Clark County scene in Atlanta. For folks who don't remember, like they were in the studio and the engineer kept fucking up the session. So this like pop rapper Clark County, it was his session. You know, he's like a nice guy. He does Yoohoo commercials and shit. Really like safe pop rapper, and he basically assaulted the engineer for like fucking up the session. And Donald Glover said that it was like a real, based on a true story. He was like in the studio with like this rapper you wouldn't expect to be a psychopath, and he ended up being that. I wonder who the fuck he was talking about.
Yeah, like it makes me want to like go through every feature that like Childish Gambino has.
If I'm gonna do that afterwards, after we're done recording, and if it turns out that it might be Chance, I'm gonna delete this whole.
Yeah, exactly. Like I like trying to get run up on.
If Chance is like a secret psychopath, I don't want no smoke. We could jump him. You know what I mean? That's always an option. We could like roll on a nigga, but I don't. You know. Not I'm 40. I don't roll on nobody.
Think about it this way. Like, you know, Lupe Fiasco was always like, you know, oh, super positive Lupe Fiasco. He makes like skateboard music, shit like that. And then like his partner from like First and 15th, his record label, was like caught with like 9 bricks or some shit like that. Like,
Lupe Fiasco's not like what niggas try to say he is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe that. You know what I mean? That motherfucker know kung fu. Street nigga. Like, I don't believe that Lupe Fiasco is like the dude that like rap fans try to say he is.
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely. I see what he's doing. Like I said, like the Queen Latifah thing was like, well, I gotta throw like a Jersey rapper in there. So like,
yeah.
I'm a
she ticks two boxes, like woman and Jersey rapper.
Yep.
It makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, she's the queen, so like...
And she's fucking dope. Yeah, like, Queen Latifah was never a slouch on the mic.
No, not at all.
You know what I mean?
So, that, you know, that makes sense. That's cool. And, like, yeah, you know, I throw in a couple, like, I throw in the young bull, so I got Chance. And then, like, you know, he can't, like, he couldn't be like, oh, I'm going to throw, you know, Future on my list or some shit like that. Like, you know what I mean?
That would be the best. Like if Obama, because Cory Booker, like, let's be honest, he's like Obama, like the diet version.
Yeah.
If Obama had like Future, it's like, yeah, you know, I got Jay-Z and, you know, Talib Kweli, Future, you know, Future Hendrix. Like, what is top five? That would be the best shit ever. I would adore that. Like, yo, shout out to you, Obama. Like, we don't fuck with you, but, you know, we fuck with Future.
Yeah, he like, listen, I every speech, I listen to March Madness. because it prepares me.
You know what I mean? I wonder when I look at this March Madness. When I look at this this Cory Booker top five, who do you think is really his person off of this list?
Common.
Like, who's the one he really listens to the Common. Most?
Common is the Common? One I believe the most. Yeah,
no hesitation is Man, Common.
No hesitation. Like I said, like you yeah. look at how he dresses, and you're like, yeah, I can see Common being like this dude's favorite rapper.
What's his favorite Common album?
It's probably like, I would say it's that really like shitty one that came out after B.
The Universal Mind Control.
Yeah, that joint. It's that record.
That's his favorite. All them good records Common made. That's the one. Like got the most plays in his iTunes.
Yeah, it's that God or like damn. Maybe one day it'll all make sense.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
That was for a long time. That was my favorite one.
Yeah, I love that record. I do. I love that record.
That was my shit for a long time. I mean, it's still my shit. Yeah. But that was like my top one. It replaced Resurrection in my top Common albums for a while. And then after a while, like Water for Chocolate replaced it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say it's like B.
Yeah, I could see that too. I could see
it
like.
It might be B. B to me, B and Find It Forever. Are like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. This is not the intention I'm saying it with. I feel like B and Find It Forever are the middle of the road Common records mm-hmm. for most people. Like if you don't love like the Bitchin' You, Resurrection, like 40 drinking, fast rapping Common from like Resurrection or you know the first record. And if you also don't fuck with like Soul Aquarian, Electric Circus Common,
yeah,
B is the record for you. You know what I mean? I feel like that's probably the one that Cory Booker really, really fucks with.
Yeah, I guarantee you his like favorite video is the one where like his girl's deaf and he's like holding up the signs in the window.
Are your eyes still good, girl?
That's like his favorite.
Living in a dream world.
He got like a crocheted hat on.
Yo, Common, dog. Niggas don't remember. Like, niggas was clowning Common. Niggas don't remember when mad niggas was in like footwork and fucking the Black Lillian shit dressed exactly like Common.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Them crochet hats. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers with like the black fists on their t-shirts and shit. Niggas on the cargo pants with mad pockets and parachutes in them and shit.
They get like niggas corduroy cargo pants.
Niggas had like mad earth tone, like LRG outfits. Niggas don't remember niggas was really dressing like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That you was a wave. I
mean? That was absolutely a wave. Late 90s or early 2000s, you was either one of them niggas, or you might have been like, if you was in Philly, you was either a crochet hat bull, you might have been, you had still some like backpack bulls, you had a couple like, you might have had been like a Rockefeller button up bull, or a throwback bull at that era.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like a low bull with like some Tims. It was only a couple archetypes,
yeah, absolutely,
that you could have been if you was like a Philly boy, you was out here,
yeah, and definitely
the Common crochet hat boy, that was definitely a wave.
Yeah, like I had a Gucci bucket that matched my Milwaukee Bucks Kareem Abdul-Jabbar jersey,
killing him.
You know what I mean? Before he, you know, was before the name change shit. Like,
listen.
Dog, I had that
the Luau Cinder joint.
Yeah, the Mitchell and Ness. I went to Mitchell and Ness and grabbed that joint. Had the Gucci bucket with the line that matched it. Couldn't tell me nothing, dog.
You remember when niggas had the Airs, but they was monogramming the Airs?
Yeah. Psh, yeah, gotta have that Gucci check mark, yo.
Listen, disrespecting the legacy of both Gucci and Nike. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, like, yo, you see motherfuckers out here now, they got like the Louis Vuitton like mask for like outside and shit. Like, you're not fly, man. Like, I did that in 2001. My God. Air Force Ones had a Gucci strap on them, dog. What you talking about?
I definitely came in the motherfucking barbershop with the Gucci Airs on. You get them jewels from, don't worry about it.
They're limited edition.
What'd you say?
They limited edition.
They limited. I got them from up New York. Canal Street, nigga.
Yeah, no, nah, I definitely think Common is his dude on that list.
Yeah. I could see that. I was going between Common and Quali.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
Feel like it could be either one of them.
Yeah,
but I'm leaning towards Common.
Yeah,
absolutely. One day we gonna come on here and like give our top five. I don't have the mental space to argue with niggas on Facebook or Twitter for a day.
Yeah, nah. I mean, you know, what we could do is like do it, post it, and then just ignore all the comments.
That's always an option. I was in a thread. Somebody had tagged me in a thread last night, like late last night, because I went to bed, or it might have been early this morning, because I went to bed at like 4.
Yeah.
And after I went to bed, somebody had tagged me in a thread. And when I say it was like 20 niggas, this was on Twitter too, 20 niggas in it, and then motherfuckers start arguing back and forth about some shit. Dog, I had so many notifications on my Twitter shit. I just ignored it. I'm like, I'm not looking at any of that. Nobody said anything to me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not looking at all of that shit. It's too much.
Yeah, no, I'm good on all that. Like, I've had that happen on like Facebook and Twitter where I pop it open and I'm like, oh man, like, cause I see it and I'm like, oh, there's 50 notifications. Like,
yeah, like, nope, not fucking with this shit.
Open it up and it's like, oh no, oh, dude, I just hit that. Like, that's one of the best things about Twitter is like, you can hit that notification joint as soon as you scroll up and see, like, oh, as soon as I scroll up, all the notifications disappear and shit. Like, mm-hmm. But yeah, yeah. Nah, I'm good on that. But
motherfuckers will argue you down about your favorite shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, I like ice cream. Nigga, what about pineapple? Nah, B. Like,
so what you're like, saying is you don't like brownies.
Right. I feel like that's the reason why, because every rap podcast does like, yeah, hey, what's your top? This is now the third. Man, I won't argue with these niggas. You know what I mean? You niggas can't rap better than me. You know what I mean? If I chose to rap again, you can't podcast better than me. I'm not arguing with motherfuckers on the internet about some shit that I like and enjoy.
Yeah, because on top of that, like, I look at it and go like, well, I'm still going to have my top five regardless. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to argue me out of having, you know, whoever, like, Mos Def in my top five. Like, you're just not going to argue me out of that.
Right. Nigga, what about MC 900 Foot Jesus? The fuck?
Nah, I'm good.
Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, no, and then when we do it, I may just throw dudes in just to like to definitely piss people off.
Some fuck shit, just throw it in. I definitely said that on Facebook. This was years ago. I was like, yo, I have a feeling somebody going to ask me about my top five today, and I'm going to do some fuck shit like Lisa Left Eye Lopez, that bitch. You know what I mean? Just to like make niggas mad. Motherfuckers, dog, when I just thinking about like niggas arguing about your opinion, I said some shit about third base one time on Facebook.
Ooh, that's niggas a touchy was, subject, dog.
Dog, niggas was crying. Niggas was crying over for, what do you mean you don't like third base? Have you ever heard the Cactus album? Yeah, nigga, when it came out. Yeah. Like,
I heard it when it dropped.
Yeah, don't bring shit from like 93 to me talking about, yo, did you hear XYZ? Like, yo, get the fuck out of here.
I heard it and I still don't like it.
Yo, and then motherfucking search turned out the vote for Trump.
Yeah.
And y'all motherfuckers was blowing up my notifications over nut ass third base. Get the fuck out of here.
I remember when you posted that. That was heated.
Yo, you know what's crazy too? now when I see like a bunch of like comments for one thing, I avoid that shit because I know niggas is arguing.
Yeah, I've seen that like on people's posts. Like I'll see like, you know, somebody be like, oh, yo, this, that, and the third. And I'll look and it'll be like 40 comments. And I'm like,
88 comments.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm not commenting on that.
Dog, I can't think of, shout out to Nikki Ford. It was some post about race. And I said some shit, and I said what I said. Dog, when I say them niggas hit me with 130 notifications, 130 replies to the shit I said. I can't even remember what I said. I didn't even say, you know, no ill shit about white people. It was me versus white people.
Yeah.
Like, let's be clear. But I can't even remember what I said.
You didn't even hop in there like, yo, y'all got tails. Like, you know what I mean?
Y'all don't even breathe the same oxygen we do. Like, I didn't even say no ill shit. I said something like, I thought very factual about white people. White people was going off on me, and they hitting me with comments. My phone was dinging and shit. And I'm like, I ignored it because it's nonsense. Like, yeah. I said what I said up there. None of this shit that y'all are talking about matters. Nikki jumped in. Nikki said, like, two comments, dog, and then shit shut down. I can't even remember what fucking thread it was, but she jumped into my defense.
Yeah.
And literally said like two comments, and after 130 that she shut the thread down. You know what I mean? She hit like the black woman I said what I said shit.
Yeah.
And it was over after that.
Hey, listen, sometimes you need that, y'all.
A soldier. I'm not giving no spiritual energy to y'all motherfuckers. Y'all niggas is devils. You know, giving no spiritual energy to be arguing back and forth. So that's the reason, you know, why we don't do our top five. The top five shit. Because then you do like Cory Booker. You give your top five a sincere.
And some dudes on the podcast going to tear into some you. Some
fucking jokers are on the podcast doing a 30-minute segment on how you're lame and you can't dress and you can't pick rap. So, it, you know, it don't even pay.
Yeah. Yo, we should probably take another break real quick.
Yeah. Let's jump out for a break and then we'll come right back and talk. We should probably hop in the. We could probably say a couple words about the battle last night, but then, like, let's really, like, slide into this new music shit.
Yeah, definitely. Besides, we've done the battles every week. So, like, you know what I mean? This way we don't have to do that again.
Right. Perfect. Boom. Back in effect. So last night, the great nation of Jamaica, as per usual, showed us how this shit is done.
Yes.
And I got my. You got the lighter flicking. You got the lighter flicking. Yeah, you know what I mean? I got a mesh shirt on with bad holes in it. You know what I'm saying? But that shit, Beanie Man and Bounty Killer battled on Versus last night.
Yeah, and that shit was fucking lit.
The community, I don't want to say the streets is saying, the community is saying it was the best one so far.
Yeah, I mean, sound-wise, there was no real technical issues.
Yeah.
The biggest issue was like when the police tried to run up in that joint.
Yo, the law showed up.
Yeah.
On some like, what are y'all doing in here? Like, yeah. We sound clashing, nigga. Yeah. Like, what you mean? Dog, that shit, I was listening to it on my laptop and I had my headphones in. It was like, I can't think of the name of the club. It was a club that used to have reggae nights on like Tuesdays. And it was downtown. It was near where like PennDOT is.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
Shit.
It was like a number club. I can't think of the name of it, though. It was rocking like that. Like,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, I did. Like, y'all partying in this joint.
That but shit felt like the after hours. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how that shit felt, dog.
It makes perfect sense, though, that, one, Beanie Man and Bounty Killer have been doing this for how many decades? Since we were school kids. You know what I mean? They've been out here rocking. But that Versus format is perfect for reggae artists.
Yeah, you know it's Sound Clash, essentially.
Yeah, it's a Sound Clash. It's not surprising that they're like geniuses with the audio. You know what I mean? Somebody on Twitter, I can't think of who mentioned it, but somebody on Twitter made a really like poignant observation. It's like Jamaica has been at the forefront of audio innovation for 70 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were building sound systems and building their own speaker cabinets, you know what I'm saying, in the 50s.
Yeah.
And doing this shit. So it made perfect sense that they figured that out and figured out how to rock it. They were both in the room together, playing off of each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? It made perfect sense.
Yeah, I think there's one point like toward the end where like Bounty Killer's going on and like Beanie Man like kind of like presses his way up against them, and then like Bounty Killer like shouts out Beanie Man's daughter, and like he just starts cracking up. Like it just felt good, it felt yeah. love, and like the fucking music was like just awesome.
Yeah.
The connections between like reggae / dancehall to like hip hop
yeah.
is like, you know, crazy. And it felt fun and good. Like I said, like you're sitting there listening to it and it's like, oh, I'm like, I'm at like the after hours just chilling, like, and they yeah. got the reggae on and right. it felt good. Like the only thing I didn't like about it was it made me want to be outside. Like,
that's the thing. Like, it gives you kind of like a FOMO feel, missing yeah. out kind of yeah. feeling. You're like, damn, we could be partying. Like, the weather is probably going to be fucking gorgeous
mm-hmm.
this summer. Yeah, I got that feeling a little bit, too.
Yeah, I did see somebody on Twitter say it looks like they split one suit.
Yo, one was definitely wearing the same top as the other's bottom. I was like, what is this fit y'all wearing? Y'all Caribbean niggas know how to put on a show, yo,
yes.
and make it happen. That shit, yeah. it was beautiful to see, because I think that Jamaica, small island, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like Jamaica's musical impact is like, you know, far exceeds its size. And
oh,
the,
yeah,
the
I mean,
population.
Jamaica's probably smaller than the state of Pennsylvania.
Right.
And like you think about what they produced musically just from that country.
Yeah.
Compared to like what the state of Pennsylvania has produced, and you're like, wow, like that's right. either more or better than. Like, you yeah. know what I mean? Like, it's just insane.
Yeah. I've spent the week writing about sound systems in the UK. As part of like a larger piece that I'm working on, and you know, the British Empire passed England, I'm gonna say passed like a citizenship act in 1948 that basically said like anybody that England had colonized can now become citizens of England and y'all can come. And Jamaica did that shit with like a force, and folks like came over,
yeah,
started building them sound systems. And by, I want to say, the late 1950s, you had like a thriving sound system culture and reggae culture in England, which created jungle, which uh-huh. created grime, and all of this music that, you know, is produced from England is really Jamaican music.
Yep.
It's just like, you know, it could be like how hip hop in a way is Jamaican and African American music, you know, grime or jungle drum and bass is like Jamaican / you know, Anglo music.
Yeah.
Or whatever, like black Anglo music. You know what I'm saying? So like Jamaica's impact, and we're not even talking about like just straight reggae or ska, you know what I mean? All of this stuff. Like Jamaica's impact is like wide reaching. And I think that having Beanie Man and Bounty Killer run through all of these like hits that they've made really illustrates that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like, you, I mean, like, dude, you can even go to like the influence like reggae and dancehall had on like reggaeton. Right. And how right. big that became here in this country. I mean, like some of the biggest artists like Bad Bunny and shit like that now, J Balvin, shit like that. Like these dudes like are some of the biggest artists in the world right now. And like that all can get traced back to those roots.
Yeah. Niggas don't talk about it enough. It's not discussed enough, but reggaeton, that that dembo rhythm, that's a Shabba Rank song.
Yeah.
Them niggas took a Shabba Rank song and made a whole genre out of it. You know what I'm saying? And Jamaica has so much stuff that lives in like the DNA of popular music that we don't even think about.
Yeah, I mean, like, think about, what do you remember most about like Shine's first record? It's the Barrington Levy part. Like, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Right.
So, oh, dog. Oh.
That shit. That shit used to come on in the club. You remember?
Yeah.
That shit. Whoa. Do 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 do. That shit used to come on in the club, dog. You be hot. Listen, Save the Last Dance. Listen, that shit. It's a wonder we go to jail.
Yeah.
That shit used to come on in the funk shit.
Yeah, so no, I mean, it was a beautiful event, and like, shout out to Swiss and fucking Man. Timbaland for even like thinking of putting that one on, like, because I would have never even thought about that.
Swiss, you know, me and you were working on like a lot of like creative stuff. We're trying to come up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's really, it's ill to see this brand that Swiss and Timbaland have created out of adversity and out of, you know, the fact that people are like stuck in the crib. They really have their finger on the pulse of this shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So yeah, shout out to Swizz and Timbaland. Shout out to the whole of Jamaica, you know, the country and the diaspora. Shout out to Beanie Man and Bounty Killer. And yeah, this shit, I enjoyed it. And I'm not like I know a little bit about Jamaican music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not like an aficionado. I thoroughly enjoyed that shit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I mean, I know, like, especially with Bounty Killer, it was like, oh, I recognize like that record from hearing it, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you it was a Bounty Killer record.
Right. Like, yeah, like, you know the songs. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I guess we can start wrapping up. Did you listen to anything new this week?
Yeah, I did. You want to talk about Camp Low? Before we, it's not new, but we can discuss it anyway. So a couple folks have been talking about 80 Blocks from Tiffany's Part 2, the Camp Lo and Pete Rock joint. It actually came out years ago, but it recently came to like streaming, and you know, it's like you mentioned earlier when we were talking, it's on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
So you know, a lot of folks have been like, oh, is this like a new joint? Like, nah, it's old, but it's like now you can like get it through the official channels or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, I think it was on DatPiff.
Yeah.
When it initially came out. The shit is fucking dope, yo. Like, obviously Pete Rock is, to me, he top three and he ain't number three.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm Pete saying? Rock is like,
you know, Pete is like my guy.
Yeah, he's one of the, you know, Mount Rushmore faces that ain't never getting removed type shit. Like, there could be, you know, another 1,000 years of hip hop and you're like, yeah, but Pete Rock face still up there. Like, right. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
they ain't no like, removing him.
You know, so Pete did all the production on this. It's really fucking dope. Starlight Glitz is like my favorite song. It's one of my favorite Camp Lo songs in general. But yeah, that's on this joint.
I like and Let's Toast too. That's my joint.
Wait, say it again.
Let's Toast.
Let's Toast. Right. Their styles are perfect for one another.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I want to, and this record kind of reemerging makes me want more Camp Lo music.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm never going to be mad if like there's a Camp Lo release.
Yeah. I know they did a few years ago. I don't know if it was for this record, 80 Blocks from Tiffany's. They did some joint where they shot a video here in Philly.
Yeah. With some folks we know too.
Right. Bunch of the homies were involved in that shit. But yeah, Camp Lo is interesting to me too, because, you know, they came out with the first album that everybody knows, and then they kind of went underground, and, you know, yeah, they've been putting out, like, I noticed people in the world who are like hip hop heads that don't know that Camp Lo has made like multiple records since, you know, the first one, Uptown Saturday Night.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at like their releases, like, they've steadily released music for a long time.
Right, right. And it doesn't really get the shine.
Nah, not at all.
It should. But yeah, if you fuck with Pete Rock, you fuck with Camp Lo, their bars are crazy on point.
Yeah.
Both of the 80 blocks from Tiffany's records are like more than worth your while.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I would say definitely check both of them out.
Right.
I checked out the new Styles record. It's Styles David. Mm-hmm. It's Styles David, Ghost Your Enthusiasm.
Right, right.
One thing I will definitely say is, because this has been a troubling thing for a lot of like recent Lox solo albums and group albums, period. Mm-hmm. This like production on here, stellar.
Ooh, nice.
So like it starts to lag a little toward the end of the album, mm-hmm, but like most of the production on here is really, really good.
That's all, you know, I don't even want to say just Styles. That's all an MC need, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, cause I mean, like,
come on.
You know, Styles ain't gonna like lack in the bar area. Nah, you know what I mean?
Not at all.
But like he's had like, and you know what too, like I've mentioned this before on the podcast, they had a tendency to get like their homie who could kind of sing to do a bunch of their hooks.
Right.
Like he ain't on this album. You know what I mean? Oh, like it's a much better like solid project. It's probably like one of Styles' best projects in a while.
Yeah.
It's like as far as a complete project, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I was digging the last one that he did. It was some joints that I didn't really fuck with, but like for the most part I liked it.
Yeah, I think the production on here I think is better. And it doesn't, you know, it's not like he's trying to sound like he's doing trap music either. Like it sounds like kind of throwbacky, but like not like, oh, he's just making a 98 record. Like, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? He's like, you know, no, he's making contemporary music, but yeah, like with beats that aren't like super old school or like, mm-hmm, yo, let me throw on this 808.
Right. You know, just as you were talking about that, it made me think, niggas might say that I'm bugging, I don't know, but I wouldn't be mad at like a new Lox album with Swiss.
No, I wouldn't, especially not now. I think because Swiss has progressed so much as a producer.
He had some shit on that last record, dog.
Yeah.
That last like Swiss album he had, where he had like Nas on it and shit. He had some joints on there. I wouldn't be mad if they linked up and did another record. You bring Eve on that joint, you know, on some like Rough Rider shit.
Yeah, definitely get X on there. Everybody, yeah, like,
I don't know if that's just,
I mean, you like can leave Drag On at home, but like, you know,
you know, it's crazy though. Somebody, I can't think of who said this shit. Somebody was like, "Yo, Drag On been spitting." Like, I think I looked him up on the gram or some shit. He can rhyme, yo. Like,
yeah.
He been putting it down, so even if you wanted to throw him in the mix, you know what, yeah, I mean? It's I did not, you know, full disclosure, I did not fuck with Rough Riders when they were out. I always liked the Lox.
Yeah.
And I like Eve, but like that style of production I couldn't fuck with. But like you said, Swiss, you know, has grown as a producer. I think Swiss could make some crazy shit, like a modern Lox, modern, really, just fuck it, bring back, you remember the Rough Riders, the compilations they used to do?
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't be mad at a Rough Riders compilation right now.
Nah, dog, that's actually an awesome idea. Like, maybe, yeah, we should hit Swiss up with a text.
Holla at Swiss. Dog, yeah, niggas gotta let us outside, though, because if you got a new Rough Riders album, we gotta be out being bad, you know what I mean? Yeah. Getting into shit. Like, we can't be in the crib and X drop like a new anthem or some shit. They gotta we gotta wait till the corona over. Then we get a new Rough Riders album. Then we back in the club with the razor and the little leather part of our Timberlands. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotta have like a bottle of Henny in my hand when I'm listening to a Lash record, like a Rough Rider project. Yeah. I gotta kick somebody in a grill or something.
Yo, you kick a nigga in the face with Tim's, you got an enemy for life.
Yeah.
Like, it's never gonna die down after that.
Make like they throw on like Wild Out Part 2, you know what I mean?
Oh, niggas don't know. Wild Out used to come on, yo.
I smack somebody with the pistol or something, like, listen, you know what I mean?
Come on.
Gotta get down. But yeah, definitely check that new Styles project out. Ghost Your Enthusiasm. And the 80 Blocks from Tiffany's Part 2. Like, definitely check those out. We can start rapping. I just want to give a quick shout out. Shout out to Quavo for graduating high school. Like, legit getting his high school diploma at 29 years old, man.
That motherfucker rich, yo. He ain't had to do that.
Nah, not at all. Like, they said, like, I was reading one article, it was like his net worth like $26 million or some shit like that. Yeah. Like, you ain't gotta go get no high school diploma at that point, but like, that's something he wanted to do, probably a promise he made to somebody or something. Like, and shout out to all the 2020 graduates. Shout out to, you know, Nephew Mir. Shout out to V. Like, they're not really getting they proper propers because of everything going on. But, you know, it's an accomplishment nonetheless.
100%.
And all the 2020 graduates from college and shit like that, too, who, like, not getting to do what they should do. You know, you can find us all the platforms, the Serious Rap Shit. I'm Indy_SRS on Twitter and on Instagram. You're John_Liberator on Twitter and Instagram. Other than that, yo, we'll be back next week with some more fire for you. Maybe somebody will do like a really bad versus and we can shit on them next week.
Right. We're due for like a trash one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we've had a couple good ones in a row. I mean, the Nelly and what you call. I mean, Nelly, you know, had DirecTV service, and you know what I mean.
Motherfucker, Nelly had a Commodore 64. Shit was not working.
Yeah, like he had dial up or something. So you know, it is what it is. But other than that, yo, we'll be back next week, man, with more fire for you. Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.